Good morning, I'm David Warnock, and welcome to Baltimore's Future. This is the second part of my interview with Stephanie DeLuca, who's an associate professor of the Department of Sociology at Johns Hopkins University. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Anyone done a longitudinal study looking at the original families and where they are today in terms of both where they live, their kids live, and lifetime earnings, the impact of that one-time profound change?
It turns out that there's a new opportunity to do exactly what you described in Baltimore. So in a twist of fate, when I moved to Baltimore, it just so happened that a really similar lawsuit had been filed on behalf of Baltimore's public housing families. In 1995, the Maryland ACLU and some other attorneys had taken a case, a very similar case to the Gautreaux case, forward. And it was known as Thompson v. HUD, essentially arguing that Baltimore's Housing Authority and the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, had not taken a metropolitan approach to housing. So families who were using the subsidized housing program were essentially trapped in our highest poverty, most segregated communities. In 2005, the court ruled in favor of the plaintiffs and argued that it was HUD, not Baltimore's Housing Authority, who was liable for essentially citing these families in high-poverty segregated communities. And I became involved in the remedial phase of the case. So I got a phone call from one of the attorneys at the ACLU and said, we'd like you to testify on behalf of our families on the basis of your previous work about what needs to happen for them to have access to neighborhoods that they had been historically denied, but that, you know, their white counterparts had always had access to. So I did work on the case and the remedial phase of the case, and also gained access to the data for the first 2,000 African-American families who left Baltimore's inner city, who were in public housing or on the wait list, and got a chance to move to the six counties surrounding the city. And I've been collecting that data for over 10 years now.
Tell us what that data shows.
So what we see for these families, who now it's upwards of 10 years later, some have moved more recently. I've been tracking them all along. We see a radical reduction in poverty rate. So many of these families were living in neighborhoods that were between 30 and 40% poor and are now in neighborhoods that are less than 10% poor, moving from neighborhoods that are 80% African-American or higher, who are now in neighborhoods that are closer to 15 to 20% African-American, more mixed race. And strikingly, they also, in the long run, are the majority of these families are staying in these more opportunity-rich communities. And of course, as we know, in the United States, school quality tracks neighborhoods. And by virtue of this program, the schools that their children have access to are profoundly higher quality. And in a new study the ABLE Foundation is supporting, we're tracking the outcomes for the children, their achievement scores, and some other educational outcomes as a result of participation in this program.
Are we still helping families move like that?
Yes. Yeah, so the final settlement for the court remedy happened in 2012. And so over the next 10 years, another 2,600 families will have been helped. So I think if I do my math right, it could be up to close to 5,000 families will have been helped through this what we call the Baltimore Mobility Program.
So thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
For more of this interview, visit www.warnockfoundation.org or wypr.org. Baltimore's Future is produced by the Warnock Foundation for WYPR. For the Warnock Foundation, I'm David Warnock.